This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Master Wayne. Thermal imaging is showing me 2 dozen hostiles on the third floor. Why don't I drop you off on the second?
In my old age, Alfred.
Even you got too old to die young. Not for lack of trying.
He has the power to wipe out the entire human race. If we believe there's even a 1% chance that he is our enemy, we have to take it as an absolute certainty.
The greatest gladiator match in the history of the world. God versus man. Day versus night.
You're psychotic.
That is a 3-syllable word for any thought too big for little minds.
Do you know the oldest lie in America? That power can be innocent.
Perfect. I'm Lauren Lapkus.
I'm Nicole Byer. And this season, we're covering the Batman movies.
This is the 10th episode of the 6th season. So we've already done so many of these. We're working our way through movies within the Batman universe with the help of fellow newcomers, super fans, sometimes even people who've contributed.
This season will be 13 episodes, culminating in a very exciting live stream episode.
Oh my God, it's going to be so crazy.
We're going to cover as much as we can to give you an overview of the franchise, but listen, we can't get to everything.
So today we're going to be discussing the second film in the DC Extended Universe, Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice Ultimate Edition. Okay. And if you want to watch it, it's with a subscription. You can watch it on Max and Prime Video. You can also watch it for a fee on Apple TV Plus, Google Play, and Vudu.
And we're going to spoil the fuck out of this. So if you want to watch this hot fucking mess before we do so, you can do that.
And we are so excited for our guest today. Scott Aukerman is a comedian, writer, and producer who co-founded the Earwolf Podcast Network. Scott hosts the comedy podcast Comedy Bang Bang and Threedom with me and Paula Tompkins. Welcome back, Scott.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
We're so excited to talk about Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice Ultimate Edition with you today.
This is one that I'm afraid
I had a little bit of input on what movies I think you're covering this season.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with Lauren where I heard what you were covering, and I was like, no, here's how you do it.
Yeah.
And I crossed out some and added some, and this is one that I'm afraid I said, we need to watch the Ultimate Edition and not the regular.
No. Oh, so this is all your fault.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
This was good to know that we have you here. 3 hours and three men, by the way.
Yes.
The original theatrical is only 2:30, so it's just 30 more minutes, but I think 30 more minutes that makes it make slightly more sense.
Well, and it makes you really tired by the end, because I was nodding off. I was holding on for dear life just to get through the last few minutes. I woke up to the screen being like just like the cover of the movie. And then I went, what? And then I had only been asleep.
You had to go backwards.
I had to go back. And then I had to watch the last 5 minutes again. But I got what happened. Okay. And I can't wait to talk about it.
So, Scott, you're a Marvel head. You like Marvel.
I like Marvel,
you
but
made me enjoy Doctor Strange.
Oh, thank you.
Then,
we had a great conversation about that at Birds when I was walking home from the Hollywood Bowl for some reason because I couldn't get an Uber.
Are you a DC head too?
I actually grew up, I think, reading both pretty equally. But DC was always a little more childish, I think, until the mid-80s. It was a little more like for kids. And then in the mid-80s, they sort of grew up and got a little more for people my age, teens at the time. So that's when The Dark Knight and Watchmen and all that kind of stuff came out. So now it's like, it's so weird because DC movies are they curse in them and they're so violent. And they're not for kids at all. And DC has gone the totally other way, whereas Marvel is more lighthearted, you know?
Yeah, the swearing actually really surprised me. Did you notice that? Yeah.
I did.
Batman, at one point, he considers changing his name to Cuntman.
And he just keeps screaming it and doing the, like, pussy-licking thing. It was so weird. But I like that part.
Very strange.
No, there was one hot part. Do you agree?
The shower?
The bathtub?
Oh, the bathtub.
The bathtub.
Oh, I thought you meant the shower. Where
What's the
I
shower?
Was, well, Batman is taking a bare-ass shower, and I thought he was going to turn around and Gone Girl us and show his wang.
Wait, I didn't even catch that. Oh, my God.
You were asleep during the shower?
I must have missed the shower scene. Oh, I swear to God, I was watching. The bathtub
scene was
hot,
too, and I don't remember a shower.
Yeah, are you making this up?
I think maybe this is something that I saw. It's not just a fantasy.
I mean, I always think about Ben Affleck standing in the shower a la Gone Girl.
Yes.
Okay, well, really quickly, let's just give our quick 1-2 sentence experience of the film. We're going to jump in it very deeply, but did you like this movie?
So I did not like it in the theater when I saw the theatrical cut. I thought it was a mess.
Yeah.
Saw the extended cut and was like, oh, okay, now at least I know what's going on. I still think it's a mess.
Yeah.
But I at least understand it.
Okay. I felt like I was really confused about a lot of stuff, but I really was like, why are Batman and Superman against each other? They should be fighting together. And so then there was a lot there that I felt like didn't match up with what we've watched in other films. I also felt like Batman himself was very different from what we've established him to be.
Yes. This is an older... Essentially what happened with this is Zack Snyder has read two comic books in his life. He read Watchmen and he read The Dark Knight.
Whoa.
And at the end of The Dark Knight, which is a big classic Frank Miller Batman story set with an older Batman... Who's like? I think he's 65 in The Dark Knight. They age him down to like Affleck looks 55 maybe in this. He's got a gray streak.
Yeah.
But at the end of that, Batman and Superman have a big fight, which was something you'd never seen before.
Yeah.
Because growing up, Batman and Superman were friends. They were always colleagues. They helped each other out.
That was my understanding.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in The Dark Knight, in this alternate universe set in the future, with an older Batman and Superman hasn't aged. Superman is like a tool of the fascist government. He's like Ronald Reagan government.
Okay.
And is controlling the world and keeping peace. And Batman doesn't like that. And so they have a giant fight, which is what Zack Snyder wanted. Like when he was making this sequel to the first Superman film, he really just wanted to film this fight, which is what you see at the 2-hour point of the movie. That's what he wanted to do. So that's why this movie exists. And everything in it is backtracking to justify this fight happening.
Isn't that such a boy answer though? Like, I just wanted to see him fight.
Yes.
I want to see him fight.
That's, I think, the issue with Zack Snyder as a director is there are two types of comic book fans, I think. There are comic book fans who are like, they're all power fantasies, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the comic book fan sees a power fantasy and says, like, okay, these characters are very powerful and it would be great to have all these powers, but if I had them, I would use them to help out the less fortunate.
Yeah.
And that's like classic Spider-Man, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. Mm-hmm. Zack Snyder is the other type of comic book fan.
Is that the one that I thought was a Bible quote?
Yes, I believe so.
Job 3:18.
Yeah. I was like, that's famous, right?
And then that's from the Bible.
Famous.
But then people online are like, it is kind of like, I feel like I got justified by somebody. I don't know. Whoever helped me out, thank you.
But then the Zack Snyder type of comic book fan is the type who sees these power fantasies and goes like, it'd be so awesome to be that powerful and to kick everyone's ass.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And that's the whole, and I don't think that's sustainable. That's the whole issue with Zack Snyder's whole point of view is he views these characters as like gods who are out there beating the shit out of everyone into submission and not helping people.
Yeah, I didn't like that. Like, yeah. I didn't like Superman's red eyes. Nicole, what did you think of the movie before?
I also didn't like Superman's red eyes.
I
felt like, okay, maybe I just really loved Christian Bale and I like Ben Affleck, but he just seemed so angry and mean, and Alfred seemed like he was giving advice and then Ben would just be like, no, and then wouldn't do it. And
not
then
today,
I was
Alfred.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, truly, like, get out of here. And then everyone just seemed so angry at each other. And then I was like, how is Amy Adams everywhere all at once?
Oh, my God. Her miles must be incredible. She's
getting those steps in.
I love her, though. But even the part where, like, she's falling off the building and then Superman catches her and she's just like, I'm like, you almost died.
Yum,
like,
you didn't know
he was going to be the cute. I had some questions about her character and her.
And then Lawrence Fishburne, I was like, is he doing soliloquies? Like, is he doing poetry? Everything he said was
it
kind of softly rhyming.
Yeah.
He was cast because this is the sequel to the first Superman film that Zack Snyder did.
That's an issue because I didn't understand that.
Which you guys don't need to cover, but you haven't seen.
Yeah.
So that was a Superman film that was a result of the Dark Knight movies that you just watched, the Nolan movies. Mm-hmm. Christopher Nolan's an executive producer on that movie. And the Batman movies that you guys just did cover, the Nolan movies, I think what those are is like, what if Batman existed in the real world? There's nothing superpowered about it. There's nothing supernatural about it. It's just like, okay, we're going to justify Batman. Even the Joker, like, he doesn't fall into a vat of acid or anything.
Yeah.
Like, he does that to himself. So it was kind of when they announced, okay, this Superman movie is going to happen with Zack Snyder. Everyone's kind of like, Zack Snyder? I don't know. But Nolan was the executive producer. And it was kind of like, okay, well, maybe this will be a Superman movie. Like, what if the one buy you have is there's an alien?
Yeah.
But what if that was the real world? But he does it to the extreme of, and this ties in with the beginning of this movie, these aliens are fighting, and Superman normally in a Superman movie would see the villain about to kill a bunch of people and would go like, okay, I have a solution for this, and save everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Zack Snyder does not care about that at all. So these villains are murdering thousands and thousands of people, and Superman is just cool with it, I guess.
Yeah.
He's just fighting and it's like another 9/11, basically.
Yeah, I know. Like, it was really scary.
People are being slaughtered everywhere.
And what year was this?
This was 2009, I think.
Because doesn't it seem insensitive
or 2012
to make that?
Or
I feel like all those buildings I thought this is horrible.
Yeah. And then I didn't like the little girl who was like, my mom's up there. And I was like, why aren't you in school?
And she's literally...
How are you just there outside your mom's building?
Like, that girl's mom is gone.
This is during the summer, Nicole?
Her mom is gone. And then did Superman... We got to get into this because there's so many questions that I have.
There's
and I want to get into all the details. Let's take a quick break. We're going to jump back in with all of Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice Ultimate Edition, okay?
Remember in 2018 when border control separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents and deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not been reunified. Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero tolerance policy. Once reunited, El Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you'd see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that families belong together, join me in supporting El Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to El Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity to donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. Eltrolado.org/volunteer. Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash.
We're back. This film was released March 19th, 2016. There we go. Written by Chris Terrio and David S. Goyer and directed by Zack Snyder. Did David S. Goyer write another film?
He did something else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He wrote all of the Nolan ones?
I think or co-wrote. He's a pretty standard go-to guy for these comic films.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, like, let's jump into the plot of this, because all of our questions and thoughts are going to be tangentially popping off of here. So we want to thank sincerely the DC Extended Universe Wiki.
Thank you so much
for putting together this summary. And that's not the Batman Wiki. That's the DC Extended Universe.
The DC
Wiki.
Extended Uni.
Thank you so much. Now, again, right off the bat, I was going, are we really doing this? In a flashback to his childhood, Bruce Wayne runs from his parents' funeral. He falls into a cave where a swirling vortex of bats elevates him back to the surface. I did like that.
How many times have you guys seen his parents being murdered?
We watched
at this point?
The whole thing
at least
of him.
Five times.
Yeah. Why? I was like, why? No one in the world doesn't know. No one in the world doesn't know.
I was trying to think, though, how many times it's been on film, because it sort of happens in the Michael Keaton first one, right?
I feel like it's like, I think we've seen it four or five times. It's in that cartoon that we watched,
right? Oh,
it's
in the cartoon. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. It's in the Bale version.
Is it in the Bale? I was trying to remember.
Yeah, that's the best one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's the one where that first one.
Batman Begins.
Oh, you didn't like the second one?
We liked the first one.
We liked the second one. We liked Heath Ledger. And then the third one, I thought should have been two movies. I thought it could have been good, but a lot happens.
A lot happens. Yeah, it's very long. But
yeah. We've had to watch this origin story 500 times, and I just feel like, literally as someone who doesn't know anything, I know that his parents are killed in front of him.
So
yes, but this one was done pretty artistically. He had the gun between those pearls, then the pearls.
That's all I remember is the pearls.
So The Dark Knight, which is one of the only comics I think Zack Snyder's ever read. That's where the
this distinction is very important. That's where only read that one. I know more than he
does. Are the two like big famous comics that made everyone in the 80s go like, whoa, comics are serious, right? So everyone's read those. But that's one of the big famous scenes in The Dark Knight, is you flash back to this, and the pearls, I think, were introduced in that. The pearls going everywhere. So that's why Zack Snyder is like, I want to film that.
But I feel like then Batman should be obsessed with pearls.
Yeah, he should be Pearlman.
He should love a pearl necklace.
It's Pearlman. That's cool.
Well,
it's a cool costume.
There's a big controversy about that, because pearl necklaces have little knots
keeping
around
them.
Exactly. Mm.
So it wouldn't happen. Unless it was fake. And I guess his parents weren't rich after all.
They weren't that rich. I guess they were in a little bit of debt.
Okay, daddy bought her a fake pearl. Let's jump in again. So in the present day, Bruce Wayne, Ben Affleck, arrives in Metropolis in the midst of the battle between Superman, Henry Cavill, who's hot, and the Kryptonians. He tries to proceed to Wayne Tower, giving the order for people to evacuate. As he drives his way to the building, and this was crazy. He's driving there. I didn't understand.
In a Jeep?
He had to tell them to get out.
Jeep from?
He's like, oh, can't go that way. Everything's falling that way. Can't go that way. I was like, you're not doing this right. As he drives his way to the building, he narrowly avoids the debris from the crashing Fortress of Solitude with Superman and Zod, Michael Shannon, inside.
So this is from the first movie. This is the third act of the previous Superman movie.
Oh, that's what's happening in
That's what's happening is okay. Superman comes down to Earth. He's trying to hide himself from the world. And then suddenly these other Kryptonians, Zod and everyone, come down and they're going to enslave all of Earth. And they have this battle which just decimates cities all over the world. And thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people die. And,
oh, my God.
And then Superman is going to kill Zod and at the last minute doesn't or something like that. But it was very it's unlike any other Superman movie because just the destruction level. And yeah, it's realistic, but who wants to see that? I don't know.
No, it's honestly very scary. And Superman and General Zod begin to fight. Zod throws Superman into Wayne Tower, and Zod's uncontrollable heat vision causes the building to collapse. Bruce makes his way through the debris looking for survivors, finding Wallace Keefe, Scoot McNairy, trapped under some rubble. That whole scene, I was like, this is a little silly.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like everybody being upset, there was something weird about it. Like, he's like, I don't know. I just didn't. There was just something weird about the whole thing.
Weird about people like, being upset that
no,
this was happening?
Because he was like, I can't feel my legs. And I was like, I don't feel like you really can't. Like, I don't know. Like, there was something.
What? you thought the actor
it
really
wasn't
couldn't?
Even acting. It wasn't like I was blaming the acting. It's like I'm just going like, there's something about the tone that there's not a level of severity that feels real.
Like, yeah, everything's he wasn't falling, like screaming. Like, he was just like, my legs. Oh, no, my legs. And I was like,
know.
You would be screaming in pain. There would be other
but
people
he can't,
screaming.
No, he can't
I wanted,
feel them.
But I wanted more. I wanted more like screaming terror. It didn't really feel. It felt like even the kids walking through were like, oh, no. Like, it's like,
I mean, there was
crying.
A lady that was like, hold hands. And I was like, what? What do you mean hold hands?
It was
a
like
building just fell down.
No, if you were leading those children, you would be running for your life. Like, bye, kids.
Yeah, you'd be like, you guys hold hands, figure it out. And then he helps rescue him. And then he saves the little girl whose mother has perished. And while consoling her, he angrily watches Zod and Superman fly down from the sky. Now, I literally thought Superman was carrying... what's his name?
Zod?
Batman's boss. Or no, his employee.
Batman has a boss?
His employee. Because you know who he calls on the phone and he's like, get out of there? And then that guy doesn't leave for some fucking
who
crazy
was that
reason.
Guy? And why was he just alone? And he was like, may God help me.
And then I thought Superman was flying holding that businessman. I was like, why did he save him? And who cares?
I think that's like the head of Wayne Enterprises or whatever. And he's stayed behind to make sure everyone's gotten out.
It's not a good idea. Someone tells you to leave the building.
Oh,
I
think I'd be first.
Gotta go.
I'd be like elbowing everyone out.
He said, we gotta go. And then you're already five floors down.
Did you hear me? Yeah. Oh, okay, whatever. Bye. But it's what in this book William Goldman wrote, he calls hero shit or hero business. If you are writing for the hero of the movie in a realistic situation, Ben Affleck doesn't have to drive to the thing in order to make a phone call. This guy doesn't have to be last, but every actor wants to look like they're doing something heroic. So it's like why in King Kong that Adrian Brody like drives around trying to chase King Kong in a car for the entire third act. It's like if you have a hero, you want to see them doing something heroic, even though it doesn't make sense.
That's true. I mean, it's more exciting than seeing him call from his house.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Collect.
But I just didn't get
like,
why.
1-800-COLLECT. May I get Wayne Enterprises, please?
So 18 months later, two divers in the Indian Ocean. Yep.
When Mike joined later and watching, I was like, and then 18 years later or something.
18 years.
So a long time later,
they
discover a large rock that looks similar to the Kryptonian ships at the site of the destroyed world engine. Upon taking it back to the surface, they split the rock, revealing a glowing green crystal. I was like, who the fuck are these people?
I know. I was kind of interested in their story. I was like, can we watch the movie where these guys just like fish in the Indian Ocean? It seems really interesting.
Did you guys know what the green rock was when you saw it?
I did know that it was kryptonite.
Okay.
I figured that's what it was.
Okay. Lois Lane, didn't get that that was her name until a little bit later.
Nope.
Amy Adams, like literally she goes to her mailbox and says Lane. I go, thank you.
I was like, oh, that's you. She's like,
gonna need that.
Lane Bryant.
Yeah. She's Lane Bryant. Travels to war-torn Nairobi, seeking an interview with the African warlord in a raging civil war. Lois is accompanied by Jimmy Olsen, Michael Cassidy, a photographer who's revealed to be a CIA operative.
Some people are, by the way, very upset that Zack Snyder introduces Jimmy Olsen and then immediately kills him. Because Jimmy Olsen's like a big famous part of the case. He's like number,
this was a choice
number four on the call sheet in Superman movies. And he wasn't in the first Superman movie. And then they introduce him and we're like, oh, Jimmy Olsen finally. And then he's dead immediately.
But don't people always kind of like that? Like when something's like
surprising,
like it's like, yeah, oh, that's famous person.
That's one of the things that you can say about these movies is they're making weird choices that you've never seen in a Superman movie.
Yeah.
To its detriment, I think, but it's always interesting.
Yeah, it's fun. I didn't know what was going to happen the entire time.
Yeah, I didn't know who Jimmy Olsen was.
And you didn't
was.
Know what was happening
And
the
I never knew
time.
When it was done.
Sure didn't.
The camera he was carrying has a tracking device hidden inside and is discovered by a bodyguard, Anatoly Kanazev. Kalen Mulvey? Before being shot, Jimmy's, I mean, these are names I'm trying to
Why
say.
Why do you even bother?
I don't, you know, I don't.
You're doing great.
You could have not even.
Well, okay. I tried, okay? And I think that's
you
something.
You did. It was great. It was
Thank
better
you.
Than what I do.
I like it. Jimmy states that Lois knew nothing of either device or his identity. The warlord then takes Lois as a hostage. Superman soon arrives, saves Lois, and returns her home. And
what did you think of Superman saving Lois in the way he does. He
I did
that
like
guy.
That, where she was like, she's
was
holding on because she's like about to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And she then, they kind of have like a little nod between them. She lets go and then he just runs really fast into that guy.
And just, if he did do that, the body parts would go flying everywhere.
Yeah. And she's fine. She had no speed problem. Like it didn't matter that he hit that guy and she was just standing there. Like
if there, if someone was sort of holding on to you.
Yeah.
And a big
train
thing,
hit them.
Yeah, train hit them. You'd be injured.
You might move a little.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
just
I like
a little.
She was ready for it.
Here's the
but
thing.
But it's romantic.
Why
right?
did this scene happen?
I guess what we're getting.
What we're getting to is everyone's going to. The world is sort of on Superman's side at the end of the first Superman movie because he saved everyone. But there was all this destruction. We're getting to the world turning against Superman. So Superman is being framed for all these people dying in this scene.
It's good that you interrupted me because I was going to say something wrong.
Oh, what were you going to say? Maybe you're
right. I was like, I think what we're getting to is like showing their relationship so that like we can see that like they're a couple. And she's like she's a really good reporter.
But that as well.
That is also something we got from that. Yeah. But not the big point.
So a U.S. Senate committee headed by Senator Finch, Holly Hunter. I love her.
I
she
love
talks
her.
Like
I love
this.
How she talks. And
I love
so
it's
amazing.
So great.
Literally, Superman.
Superman.
Should be seen by the public.
I'm gonna make some choices about him.
I love it. Her voice is so great.
Here's evidence about Superman saving the life of Lois Lane in Africa. Concerned at how Superman may be seen by the public due to his constant acts of vigilantism, she sends a public announcement to Superman inviting him to speak in a committee to defend his actions at the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C.
This whole storyline, I felt, was boring.
Yes.
Very
I did not need this
boring.
At all. I don't care about the political issues
regarding
Superman.
I do believe in the
Superman.
Original version, they cut it down. But then things just happen like Scoot McNairy blowing up and stuff where you're like, what is happening?
Yes.
I don't understand what's going on. This at least I can follow, but you're right. It is very boring.
Yeah. It felt just
Whereas
like
you don't need any of that stuff because at the end of the first movie, there's all this destruction. You can like start this movie with everyone going like, Superman, he saved us, but
not all of us.
But everyone died. Like, is he really good? And we're already there.
Sorry if this was said. Yeah. Who's attacking the aliens?
Zod.
Attacking what?
The city?
At the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's these other Kryptonians who
find
Earth.
Okay.
They're as powerful as Superman. Uh-huh. And their whole mission is like, we're going to enslave Earth. They weren't raised by the nice American Midwesterners with American values who raised Superman to be a good guy.
And why does he look like a attractive human species?
Yeah. Why is he so hot?
And then they all look like aliens.
It's very crazy Like, if you watch the Christopher Reeve Superman movies, he does such a good job because he's not incredibly built. He worked out. He's got muscles, but he does such a he's such a good actor. He does such a good job in slouching and playing Clark Kent like a dweeb.
Oh,
this so guy.
The whole time I'm going. The glasses are not. Like,
all he does is he puts on glasses and he's still the most handsome.
Yeah, you can tell who he is.
Yeah,
and he's actually hotter with the glasses.
I think so.
At the end, when it's like Superman's dead, and then they turn to page six, and it's like Clark Kent also died. I thought it would be so funny to have those next to each other,
yeah.
And it's just one picture of Superman without the glasses, one picture of Clark Kent without.
Two
with
guys
the glasses.
Died. Yeah, that's crazy.
And two Lois, separate guys.
And doesn't he take off his glasses to go to sleep? Well, I guess Lois knows.
Lois knows. In the first movie, she figures it out immediately.
Okay,
which,
good. We need her to be smart.
Yeah.
So returning home to his and Lois's apartment, the hot things happen.
Yeah,
Clark
she's
naked in the tub. Clark sees Lois in the bathtub and says he wanted to surprise her by cooking up something. And when the subject shifts to the controversy surrounding his actions in Nairobi, Clark makes it clear that he is unconcerned, as Lois could have been killed, also adding that he didn't murder anyone. When Lois questions whether or not it's possible for him to love her and be Superman, he responds by getting in the tub with her, despite being fully clothed, kissing her passionately before his glasses come off, and then Clark then proceeds to take off his shirt. I like that the wiki put in. Yeah,
that's a lot of detail for
they're very horny
20 seconds.
That's the best part. And then he took off his shirt, and then they fucked. Definitely.
They fuck in the tub.
They definitely did, but
nice
they didn't
time
let us see it. Yeah, yeah, but
and
was
like, put
that
the
was
glasses good back on. Oh,
wasn't it cute when
Clark
he got it in his clothes? It was like so fun. It's like rom com. It's like I want more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more rom com. Less
you're not gonna
death
get
and
it
destruction.
No.
Meanwhile, in Gotham, the vigilante Batman rescues a group of young Asian women from sex trafficker Cesar Santos, Sebastian Sozi, by subduing him, then ruthlessly branding him. I was like, wait a minute,
and
what
I was
the
like,
fuck?
Why did Batman
why are
brand
we doing
here's, guys?
Here's the,
what? And then I was like, did he really do that? Did
here's what they're
do
doing. And I'll just, and it's very subtle. And if you don't know what is like the comic books it's based on, you'll miss it. But they need a reason for Batman and Superman to fight. They need a reason for Superman to be mad at Batman as well as Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already established why Batman's mad at Superman,
mm-hmm,
right? They need a reason for Superman to be mad at Batman. And so what they have set up is this is a Batman who's in his 50s in kind of the future where the Joker has killed Robin, okay?
Oh.
So there are little clues to that in the movie. But that happens in the comics. That happened actually in the comics was the Joker killed one of the Robins. And so that has sent Batman down a dark path where he's just brutal and he's no longer the good guy Batman who's saving people. He's like branding criminals and he's turning into a fascist who is what, you know, the power fantasy of it all is like beating poor people into submission, you know, which is what Batman, the two different takes on Batman are, I have all these powers and I'm super rich and I'm going to use all that to help the less fortunate, or I'm super rich and crime has scarred me so much, I'm going to beat the shit out of poor people. And I think that's where he's veering into
it's
in
just
this.
It's so crazy because I'm like, we like the character for the fact that he doesn't harm people. I mean, like he harms people, but he doesn't try to kill them.
Yeah.
And
yes. So that's where they want to get to in the next movie.
Yeah.
Is Batman's back to being the Batman we like.
Okay.
But they need a reason for Superman to be mad at Batman, so he'll punch him. So that's what they're doing is they're setting up this fascist Batman who has gone too far with his means of justice.
All right. I'll let them do it this time.
Second time is a spanking.
I'm going to get you. Yeah.
Yeah, so one of Gotham's police department rookies tries to shoot him, but he leaves, and then leaving Santos with a bat brand on his chest.
On the morning news while cooking, Clark hears Nairobian Kahina Ziri being interviewed regarding Superman, and she states that had Superman been in her presence, she would ask him how he decides which lives count and which do not, leaving Clark visibly disturbed.
I mean, it is a good question because, you know, if Superman did exist, people always go, well, how do you decide who to save? And there have been comics that sort of deal with that where Superman can kind of go crazy going like, I can't even sleep because I know some people are going to die while I sleep and I have the power to save him. I don't think comics are meant to get that realistic necessarily when you're dealing with Superman and Batman, who are just like, we just want to see these guys saving lives and doing it in interesting ways, you know?
Yeah.
But they've already set up this first Superman movie where so many people died. That's where they're getting to, is like the public turning against him of like, why didn't you save all those people? Why is anyone dead?
Yeah. That's a big question.
Yeah.
He would never rest.
But it's the same thing with God, you know, and they talk about, Luther talks about it of, you know.
Oh, we got to get to that guy.
That guy.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy.
That guy.
That guy with that hair.
The hair. Boy, wait to talk about
that
wig.
The wig
was crazy bad. I didn't understand why it was so bad. I was like, it's not that hard.
It's not. It really isn't.
That one just was like super fake looking. I don't know why.
Okay. So later that day, Clark's assigned by Perry White, Lawrence Fishburne, and travel to Gotham City to cover the Metropolis versus Gotham football game, given the headline Underdog Dreams - 10 yards between Gotham and glory. When the news reports on Wallace Keefe vandalizing the Superman statue by spray painting the words "False God" in red on his chest before he's arrested, Clark is visibly saddened by this hate crime. Is it a hate crime?
It's not a hate crime.
Hey, that's a hate crime about me.
A mean crime.
Unless you view aliens as like a protected class of people. Well,
we can't get into that. In Metropolis, billionaire business mogul Lex Luthor, which Batman once said Lex Luthor, he said it so weird. I don't know why.
He did.
Jesse Eisenberg meets with Senator Finch and her subordinate to discuss the radioactive mineral discovered in the Indian Ocean, wishing to manufacture the mineral into a deterrent against Superman and other possible known metahumans. Finch leaves considering this idea while Luthor gains access to the Kryptonian scout ship and the body of General Zod from her subordinate. Luthor later tries to persuade Senator June Finch to allow him to import the mineral, but she declines, claiming to see through his facade of good intentions. Luthor warns Finch of potential consequences before she leaves.
Thoughts this is on... like an hour into the movie, and I'm like, why are we just seeing him? Also, is this where he feeds a Jolly Rancher to somebody?
Yeah, forcibly.
That was very, very weird to me.
Can we talk about his character?
Let's talk about him, because I'm interested in what you guys thought of him, because a lot of people are love him or hate him. Because when he was cast, people were a little like, he's young. That doesn't.
Oh, who's typically like what?
So the Lex Luthers we've seen are Gene Hackman.
Oh, wow. That's very different.
Who would not shave his head for the role.
What?
So he goes through the whole movie with hair, and they have to justify it by putting a bald cap on him occasionally and saying that hair's a wig and seeing him put on hair.
Oh, that's very silly.
It's crazy.
That's okay, funny. So we're supposed to believe that Lex Luthor's hair is a wig, but then he shaves it off.
So we've seen Gene Hackman, and then we saw Kevin Spacey.
Wow.
A total Sigma.
What's a Sigma?
Never mind. Kevin Spacey, who shaved his head for the role. So those traditionally Lex Luthor's an like older businessman, or at least he's Superman's age. And so what they cast Jesse Eisenberg coming off of The Social Network, and he is doing, I think, an Elon Musk impression.
Yeah.
And this is before anyone knew how annoying Elon Musk was, and and when people still thought like, oh, he's a good guy or whatever.
Yeah.
I think Jesse Eisenberg saw the Elon Musk type of person, who is a super rich person who's just been handed everything.
Yeah.
And is doing a really very annoying character purposefully.
I thought he was doing a very good job. I also thought, this is the type of person who is going to try to date me.
in real life?
Yeah. He's like a Threedom fan.
Like,
that's really funny. The type of person who wants to date me.
I was like, this
Jesse,
guy won't leave me alone at a party. I can just feel this. I can feel his energy. Oh, no. I was worried about him. I thought he did a very good job. I thought the actor was really good. I thought he made it really interesting and like a
I
funny.
I think he's very interesting. I think, but some people were just not on board.
It didn't really bother me, but I was thinking about Jim Carrey doing the Riddler. It's connected to that a little bit for me. There were like points where he's being a little like maniacal, and I was like,
some people say like he's acting too much like the Joker.
Okay,
you know, of like, you know, like
it is kind of like that, but it's like kind of like, why is he like, those parts I didn't love. All right, well, just back.
But yeah, all the political stuff is so fucking boring.
It is,
and you don't need any of it because you're getting to this congressional interrogation of Superman where suddenly everyone blows up and you don't need any of it, I think, you know?
Yeah, that was honestly very wild. And then when they were recovering bodies, I was like, so none of them have blood on them and they're all in one piece?
Right.
Then they blow up?
Yeah.
That is kind of like, I guess, the feeling during that first scene where I was like, the destruction didn't feel...
Right.
But, you know, what do I really want to watch? I don't know.
You should just go watch World Trade Center.
Yeah, I don't
want to. If you want some laughs,
I don't want to see that, really. So I don't know. But it just, that was, I don't know, kind of a weird choice.
I think the whole thing is a weird choice. Like, why are these Superman movies filled with so many hundreds and thousands of people dying?
I couldn't believe it.
It's not necessary.
And I thought, like, the whole, like, because as it's starting, I'm like, the whole idea is that they protect this from happening.
Yes.
They should be killing off all these alien spaceships and stuff. Meanwhile, they're just
killing
slicing
spaceships.
And dicing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, was it only Zod who comes, or did other Kryptonians come?
It's usually a trio. It's usually Zod, Ursula, and then the big dumb one. I can't remember in the first Superman movie if it's three of them, but I think it is. But
why are they leaving Krypton to come here?
So Krypton blew up. That's a big part of Superman's origin. When I was growing up, I thought it was the most unrealistic part of Superman's origin is that Krypton was a planet Superman's father. Was a scientist and figured out that the things they were doing on Earth were going to make the planet blow up. And everyone was like, shut up, scientist. We don't care. And then it made the planet blow up. And I was always like, people will pay attention to scientists, right?
No, they won't.
So the planet blows up. They had been, Superman's dad had been building this experimental rocket that they could all leave on, but it was only in a prototype that was small. It only had room for Superman as a baby. So they send it
he
off.
He built it so small that only a baby could fit?
Yeah. So he was like,
realized at the end, it's like when you're making something out of clay and then you're like, oh, the middle is like really small.
Yeah.
This is for one flower.
So he sent Superman to Earth and that, but then these three were convicts that had been off-world in the jail, essentially, the Phantom Zone or whatever, and they figure out how to get to Earth. And so it's like three Supermen who want to – they're convicts and they want to do bad shit. So that's what these villains are always about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back in Gotham, Bruce has been searching for someone known as the White Portuguese, who he tells Alfred is bringing in a dirty bomb to Gotham. Bruce learns that a Russian man named Anatoly Kinyazev, which I already pronounced, may have information on this. Bruce attends an underground fight club where he meets Kinyazev. He and Bruce had a brief conversation during which Bruce successfully cloned Kinyazev's phone and discovered that Kinyazev, okay, stop putting it in every other word, works for Lex Luthor.
It's just like they're taunting
they're
you.
Me. Bruce then expresses his intention to break into Luthor's house as Batman, but Alfred's quick to point out that would be unnecessary as Luthor has already invited Bruce to attend an upcoming fundraiser. You don't
none of this is none of this is necessary at all.
Okay, I'd love to not talk about it.
Yeah,
great. Okay, yeah. At Lex Luthor's fundraiser event, Clark is representing the Daily Planet while Bruce aims to infiltrate information regarding the White Portuguese and its occupant. Oh, among the event is what?
Exhausting.
Oh, antique stealer Diana Prince Gal Gadot, suspicious about Bruce. Clark approaches him, claims he wants to interview him. Then they discuss Batman's brutal activities in Gotham and different perceptions of Superman and the nature of the world. Clark condemns Bruce's alter ego and Bruce is unapologetic in saying Superman's a threat to humanity. Bruce later leaves to retrieve his data collected from the mainframe of Lex's house.
It's just so exhausting.
It is.
And
it
here's
is.
Here. So was it exciting to see Gal Gadot?
Never seen Wonder Woman, and so
okay.
This is
the first time you've ever seen her.
Okay, so that's the first time she's doing the Wonder Woman stuff. I mean, she's a
so it's
a
bad enough this plot is
actress.
Already so complicated,
sure.
But now they're adding, hey, we got to introduce Wonder Woman and the rest of the Justice League as well in order to set
it
up the next
late.
Movie. It's way too late. It's shoehorned into these scenes when you should be focusing on the Batman-Superman conflict.
Yeah, and then I was like, are they going to date? What's happening here? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, no, I don't know. So
yeah, but this is the first time you've ever seen her, and yeah.
Yeah. So the rest of the world is busy debating whether Superman has been a positive or negative addition to planet Earth. And Clark returns home to Smallville, based on the show, to visit his mother, Martha.
It's very interesting because in this movie, the town Smallville is based on that show.
It is. Yeah. They're like, we made this town. It's kind of like this show from the WB. His mom is Diane Lane, who I think is fantastic.
And she's great.
She's just
but
delightful.
I was like, why? Why are we now in Smallville? We're now
we
8 hours into
Superman's
this movie.
Mommy.
What are we doing?
And then the whole, they're both their moms are named Martha, which comes out later, Batman and Superman.
Oh my God. Why did you say Martha? Why did you say Martha?
That
and
was
I was
so
like, oh my God,
weird.
Ben, get a grip.
So stupid.
And I was like,
it's the part everyone makes fun of about this movie. I remember seeing it and everyone just like laughing during it.
Did everyone... Did they already name the mom Martha in the comics?
Yes. So both of these comics were introduced in the 30s. And back then, if you had to make an older woman character, they were always named Martha.
Martha.
Oh, it's like a George and Martha. What is that? I don't know what I'm talking about.
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Yeah, that's something. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
But there are old lady names traditionally in comics. And that's...
So they just kind of go like, if you're old, you're Martha.
Yeah.
You're okay. A Martha.
And then they're like, why are you saying Martha? It's like, everyone's Martha. Why do you think it's just about you? Don't you know what's going on?
Oh. So Bruce and Diana meet again, and Diana explains that she borrowed the data because she believes Lex Luthor has a photo of her, which
so
she was
stupid.
Unable to acquire due to the drive being protected by a military-grade encryption.
And then when
she
they're like, the data de-encrypting. Yeah, they were like, data decryption happening.
So that's the picture of her in like World War II or whatever
World
that
War
she
I.
wanted back? Oh,
yeah,
World War I.
So this is the first time we're ever seeing Wonder Woman, and they know they're making a Wonder Woman movie set in World War I.
Oh,
so they're trying to figure out how to introduce all the members of the Justice League. They do it really awkwardly and inelegantly. And why would she want? I mean, yeah, okay, yeah, it's great to have a picture of you with your lost love. This is Chris Pine is her boyfriend, who's like gone. Now he dies in the first Wonder Woman movie.
Am I crazy? I don't feel like we need to have everyone appear in a movie first before I can watch a movie about them.
No,
I'm like, just
I
make
agree.
A movie about
no.
Wonder Woman. And
they
now
were, they
that's
were trying
that
to
story.
Do. You guys did the Marvel Universe where everyone like had their own movie before they teamed up in the in the Avengers. They were trying to leapfrog over that.
They're like reverse engineering.
They're like, no one's going to want to watch a Flash movie. No one's going to want to watch a one. You know,
we need to introduce
them in this thing that people are already going to, because everyone's hyped for Batman versus Superman. We need to introduce the Justice League in this one so then we can make a Justice League movie next.
Okay. I understand the thought process.
Oh, but it doesn't work at all.
It doesn't make sense.
Now, this part I really hated. While decrypting the drive, Bruce falls asleep and has a nightmare of a post-apocalyptic world where Superman leads a regime over the world and Batman leads an insurgency to stop him. Batman arrives at a meeting point where a truck supposedly carrying kryptonite arrives. However, Batman is betrayed and a battle ensues. Batman is eventually captured. Superman arrives and kills others tied up with him. Superman unmasks Batman and states that, "She was my world and you took her from me," and then crushes Batman's chest. As Bruce wakes up, a time traveler, Ezra Miller, from the future arrives, tells Bruce Lois Lane's the key. The time traveler quickly realizes he came too soon and pivots, warning Bruce that he's always been right about Superman and should fear him. And then Bruce is like, "Hup, no, what? Where am I? Decryption done."
I was so you hated this.
I didn't like how it was a dream.
Right. So
I didn't realize it was a dream till he woke up. And
me
I was
neither.
Like, what the fuck?
It's so confusing. And it's what it's doing is setting up not the next movie, but the movie after that.
Whoa, they're thinking too far ahead.
And
yeah.
I think it's, again, it's just Zack Snyder going like, what would be cool to film?
Because it was like a whole different world.
I think it's based on a video game, the Batman with his trench coat. So it's like a look that he wanted to film.
I didn't like some of those Batman looks in this movie.
Yeah.
He had so many weird looks.
We'll talk about the one during the fight.
When he had really thick stuff on.
The fight, yeah.
That's
he was
based
wearing
on,
like monster boots.
That's
and
based
a
on
trench,
Dark Knight. Ugh. Yeah.
I didn't like
that's
that.
A real
I was like, he
Frank
doesn't,
Miller look.
I didn't like
I was
it
like, he doesn't need this level of protection. He always
well,
lives.
The other thing is, why is he working out so much? It's like Superman is so much stronger.
Yeah.
But so the whole thing that they're setting up in this scene is the second Justice League movie that he wants to make, which is Lois Lane dies.
No.
It drives Superman so crazy that he succumbs to Darkseid, who is the villain in the Justice League movie. He succumbs to his anti-life equation, which is this thing that turns people into zombies, right? And so then Batman leads a ragtag group of the DC heroes and the Joker to fight Superman. The Joker being Jared Leto.
Oh,
by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. It's so crazy to slip that in the middle of this movie, but at the same time, something exciting is happening. So it's, but this movie should be a 2-hour movie if you stripped out everything
that would be good
that you don't need and got
that,
to the fight between.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Oh, it's just an insane movie where it's like everything that Zack Snyder wants to film, and then just how do we justify all of this stuff happening? And they barely do.
I have to say, I like that Superman is like monogamous and loves Lois so much. It makes him sick whenever he can't be with her and something's fucked up with her.
Because if you had a super dick.
Nice.
If I had a super dick, I could fuck everyone. But I just want to fuck Lois.
And they wouldn't even know it. That's the other thing.
Yeah, yeah. They wouldn't even know because I look like a guy. But my dick's super.
No, he'd just be fast about it.
Why? Oh, he's so fast that they don't even know they had sex with him. He's like, that was awesome for me.
Okay, so blah, blah, blah.
Superman has a responsibility to let his partner have an orgasm.
They need to come
well.
First. He can't be so fast in the bedroom. Plus, I don't think he is based on that tub scene. Again, I think he takes his time.
I think he takes it nice and slow. Yeah.
I think that Superman, that's the other thing, is he has impervious skin.
Oh.
But in order to have feeling in his penis, I think his penis is even more sensitive than...
You do think about this. Like, well, due to my calculations, his dick is sensitive.
There was a Mr. Show sketch I was trying to pitch where Superman had super skin, you know, that was bulletproof other than his balls, and Lex Luthor figured out the way to defeat him was kicking him in the balls.
That's it. That's funny.
That's it. Good. That's the thing that takes Superman down.
Like,
not kryptonite.
Come on,
my super balls.
Let's kick. The fuck.
We can zip. Skip
zip
some of
exactly.
This.
There's so much.
We gotta skip along.
And you guys
just...
haven't even gotten to the fight or. Even worse, the last half hour?
No. There's truly too many
pages.
There's
so much stuff.
Okay. So Zod.
So Batman intercepts the kryptonite package in his Batmobile. But before he can get the kryptonite, Superman shows up and tells Batman that his idea is dead and he should bury it. Superman lets Batman go. Batman asks if he can bleed. After Superman flies away.
Yeah, this is when I was watching it in the theater, this is where it goes off the rails to me. Because this is where nothing makes sense anymore after this. Because Batman saying, like, do you bleed? You will. And Superman being so like, hey, bro, you got to stop being Batman. None of it is justified at this point.
I feel like it went off the rails for me as soon as it began.
Yeah.
From the jump, I was like, what is happening? Yeah. What's going on? So then Batman returns to the Batcave where he learns from a tracking device that he implanted on a truck that kryptonite has been taken to LexCorp Research Park.
I mean, I gotta jump a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's just too many details. Okay, so in Washington, D.C., Superman meets Lois at her hotel suite and laments on his failures to stop the bombing and his role as Superman. Lois tries to convince him because there's a bomb with
the Lex Luthor has set up he's recruited Scoop McNairy to testify before Congress and gives him a wheelchair to do it. No one knows that there's a bomb in the wheelchair because it's lead lined with Superman cannot see through lead. That's why
that's
a key detail why he was not able to stop the bomb.
So he feels bad about that.
Lead is so random.
I think back when Superman was first introduced in the 30s, lead was like a very special thing that you would like line things with lead or you'd put something behind
it's
lead.
It's like why everyone's poisoned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lois tries to convince him that he must remain a symbol of hope, and then he flies away. And then Lex uses the fingerprints of Zod to enter the Genesis Chamber. This is important. The Genesis Chamber of the Fortress of Solitude in Heroes Park, and he learns information on hundreds of thousands of recorded worlds. So he goes into this like bucket
wild.
Of baked beans. Right? This is when
just
this happens.
Goo.
Yeah. So
he walks straight
goo.
Into beans, and
this
he's
is the
like,
ship that you saw from the first Superman movie, that of Zod that was everyone was trying to kill each other. That's he figures out how to access like all the information that they brought from Krypton, and he gets the DNA from this Kryptonian and cuts himself and mixes it with his own blood, which is what creates the monster at the end.
Yeah, which was really gross.
I didn't like that monster.
Or the blood?
Just the fact that his blood created it, and then the way it looked.
Weird.
It was, yeah. Bruce begins physical training in the Batcave to prepare for his fight against Superman while simultaneously converting the kryptonite into three gas grenades and a kryptonite tipped spear. He's making little weapons. He discovers data folders on Lex's on metahumans, and one contains surveillance on Diana, and she's Wonder Woman, and he figures that out. Meanwhile, Lex brings the corpse of General Zod to the Genesis Chamber.
This is so weird.
And Kilar warns him of the ban of genetic modification by the Kryptonian Law Council.
Who's Kilar?
I don't know.
Was Lex Norris talking to him?
This is all Kryptonian shit that they brought over from Krypton.
So this is when he mixes his blood and he makes the goo guy.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care that it's illegal because he's rich and tough.
Yeah. Also, yeah. I think they're trying to set up like, hey, don't do this because we've had failures with it in the past. So they're trying to set up that he shouldn't be doing it because it turns this thing into a monster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At the end, yeah.
Which it did.
So then Clark, he goes to a snowy mountaintop and his dad is there. It's Kevin Costner.
His dad who died in the first Superman movie, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. So he is dead.
Yeah.
Kent recalls his childhood, particularly one bad rainy season, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. In Smallville, Martha's kidnapped. Batman shines the bat signal into a stormy sky as Lex watches from LexCorp Tower across the bay.
Yeah.
Superman saves Lois Lane before
confronting
Lex Luthor.
He pushes her off the building. Yeah.
Yeah, which was pretty rude. and then Lex shows Superman photographs of his kidnapped mother and offers an ultimatum. If he doesn't kill Batman within 30 minutes, then Martha Kent will die by fire.
And he uses a little kitchen timer that's like plastic. He's like, time's running out. And he's being a little jokery about it. He's like, time is running out.
Also, the photographs, I don't know why do we want to see Superman's mother like gagged and like they're almost like snuff film photographs. I don't get the aesthetic here. Like why it's turning Zack Snyder on to like humiliate Superman's mother like this. Yeah. I don't know. That's a weird choice to me.
It's very strange.
So this part I thought was kind of corny a little bit. Mm. So at Heroes Park, the Fortress of Solitude begins to emit electric discharges to the surrounding buildings. Elsewhere, Diana receives an email from Bruce showing her the photograph of her from 1918.
Okay, so then this just slows everything down where Diana then like clicks on all these links and views.
So she's seeing surveillance footage of
the Flash.
The Flash. Jason Momoa being like kind of floating towards the screen.
And sticking a spear.
It was like so weird. I'm like, what is this POV? Like this
so stupid. And then Cyborg's.
Who's Silas Stone?
So, yeah, the other superhero is Cyborg, and you see his origin story.
She's just
sitting there watching this on a computer, and we're like, aren't Batman and Superman going to fight
here
in a second?
Are you Wonder Woman? Why are you on your phone like me?
Yeah.
Like, stop looking at this bullshit and go to wherever you're supposed to be. Then Lois returns to the Daily Planet. She rides a helicopter, okay? And then in Gotham, Superman meets Batman in his armored batsuit and tries to explain the situation. Batman does not bother to listen as he activates sonar cannons and machine gun turrets against Superman to no visible effect.
And you don't need anything before that because Batman already has a reason to fight Superman. His employees died in that
building.
Right,
mm-hmm. That's enough. And then they fight. Batman fires two kryptonite gas grenades at him and gains the upper hand. Batman grabs the weekend Superman and drags him over to his kryptonite.
The weekend Superman.
The weekend.
He's only Superman on the weekend.
It's the weekend version of the singer. and drags him over to his kryptonite spear. As Batman's about to kill Superman, Superman pleads with Batman to save Martha. They go off about whose Martha matters more because they're both...
So this is why you see Martha being killed at the beginning?
So we care.
So that he's like, Martha, how can I save Martha? Because Batman was unable to save his own Martha. He then wants to save
And so
this
he thinks
Martha.
He's being taunted by him. Superman and Lois explain the situation to Batman. No, his mom's Martha too. And then
I was like, how did Lois appear there? It was like,
it was
what?
Lucky that she was able to, she was translating.
It was
for
just
them.
Luck, yeah.
Yeah.
And she even says it at one point, like,
did
whoa.
She? Oh, lucky thing I walked in here. He promises to rescue Martha Kent while Superman investigates the electric discharges. Lois grabs the spear, throws it into a pool of water to dispose of it. That was a little
so
silly,
dumb.
Too. She's like,
that was very silly.
And it's like, now
also,
we're good. And he gets up. He's like, I'm fine now. It's far enough away.
Yeah.
Batman kind of looks like he's dressed for a rave, like with his big stompers,
he looks
his little
nuts.
Hat.
Moon boots. They're almost like Uggs.
They kind of are like moon boots.
It makes it such a waste that Ben Affleck got so fit for the role, too, because you're like, he's so bundled up. He looks like a kid going to school in a snowstorm.
No, it is the Frank Miller aesthetic. Frank Miller, who wrote and drew The Dark Knight that this is all based on, is very into like shoes and boots. Like all of his characters have big ass boots on, and you see the treads of the boots all the time. So that's like his artistic style, and so they're trying to recreate that, but it looks kind of silly.
I feel maybe if other people had something, it would have been better.
But what they're trying to do is like when you saw the Marvel movies, the Hulkbuster Iron Man, the giant Iron Man armor that fights the Hulk, that it's all sort of based on this of like Batman's trying to get big and buff and armored up in order to put him and Superman on an even playing field.
It looks cooler as Iron Man.
Yeah.
And more.
I agree. So let's see. Okay, Martha's safe. Then Lex executes his backup plan.
By the way, Martha's safe. It doesn't make any sense that Batman is now totally on Superman's side here just because he heard the name Martha.
Right.
So because now he goes
but he wants to save a mom.
Yes, but he goes and saves Martha.
Someone's mommy.
And they have a line where he like captures Diane Lane and he goes, "Hi, I'm a friend of your son's."
That's so
dumb. Like they're friends now? What?
And pals. They're best buddies.
We're
Batman and Superman.
It doesn't make any sense, but they have to get there in order for the next movie to make sense.
Yeah. So Martha's okay.
So Lex unleashes an ancient Kryptonian deformity known as Doomsday, designed to kill Superman. I didn't catch his name.
So
as the monster awakens,
I didn't catch his name either.
This is the problem with the movie, okay? So the whole movie is like, we want to see Batman and Superman fight. And when they announced this at Comic-Con years before it came out, and Zack Snyder said, the next Superman movie, no one had any idea Batman was in it.
Mm.
He says, the sequel to Superman is, and they show the poster, Batman versus Superman, and it's based on the fight in The Dark Knight. Everyone goes crazy, right? That's what we want to see, but you can't set up the next movie with having them fight and have a resolution of a fight. So they're like, how do we end this movie? This is a totally separate comic book.
Like,
the death of Superman.
We don't need Doomsday.
They bring the death of Superman. Like, was years later, where a big Kryptonian monster named Doomsday kills Superman. It was a big media event. It's just shoehorned in here as the last half hour of this movie.
Yeah, I'm like, we already have a conflict. Mm-hmm. I don't really need this guy.
So suddenly there's a big monster for the last half hour of the movie that we don't give a shit about. It doesn't make any sense.
So gross. And
Wonder Woman really gross to look at.
It's gross.
Wonder Woman like lassos him and stuff.
Wonder Woman comes. She's like, "Hey, boys, let's team up and be the Justice League."
She's really strong. I liked that. And then they're fighting this.
Would have been funny if she was really weak.
Yeah, she's like, "Oh,
she's like, oh, that hurt. Ew! Oh my God, my nail broke."
So they're fighting him together, and then Superman is floating in space, extremely weak.
This made me laugh when he was all like. He looked like a raisin floating in space after they send a rocket.
And
he looked like one of the California raisins, like the one who has the sunglasses and the saxophone.
He looked just like that.
Yeah.
And he sang the same song.
Mm-hmm.
And he's thin. He's undead in appearance. Soon he's exposed to radiation from the yellow sun, reinvigorating Superman's cells. It returns him to full power. He proceeds to fly towards Doomsday, sending the monster flying into a gas tank. Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman, they get in formation, they battle the monster, and they cut off his hand, and then something grows back in the place of it. And meanwhile, Lois is in Gotham trying to retrieve the spear from underwater.
She's like, oh, remember that spear I threw away?
This was a stressful scene.
What if I got it back? It's so poorly done. Like, I've never seen a movie like this where one of the heroes throws something away and then goes, oh shit, I gotta go back and get it.
Yeah, that's really silly. Like, she literally did it to herself.
Oopsies, she didn't throw that away.
Superman can hear her drowning. He flies to rescue her. He retrieves the spear. Wonder Woman temporarily restrains Doomsday with lasso, and Superman sees the only way to stop Doomsday is to risk his own life. He says goodbye to Lois with a kiss, takes the spear.
But I couldn't believe how much time they took. they took so much time for him to be with Lois Lane. And I was like, there is a literal goopy, nasty monster out
there.
We
gotta kill that thing. He exposes himself to the substance of kryptonite in the process of flying.
Are you a scientist now,
Warren? Yeah, I added. he exposed himself and that was a risk he was willing to take.
But then it like weakens him, but then he could fly into him just fine.
I know.
I was like, what is the logic here?
He stabs him in the chest. Okay, then Superman is mortally wounded. No, I didn't think he was
He's got a fucking hole in his chest.
He gets buried in a casket with an S on it. And I thought, how many people tried to get that casket like for themselves after they saw this?
Do you think it's the like ultimate collector?
Is it a cool casket to like have?
It's just
I gotta be buried
in the catalog.
Yeah, it kind of should be. I
after
like
the Barbie movie, they probably had some Barbie caskets too.
Oh my God.
Oh.
I bet you're right. So they have a funeral for him in Smallville.
Wait, but first I'm like, who's in the Superman casket?
They
Clark
bring that
Kent
up. They say that it's empty.
Did?
Yeah.
What?
They say, isn't it crazy that everyone is mourning an empty casket in the official funeral for Superman while Clark Kent, the real dead Superman, is here in Smallville?
Wow. This was when I was fighting for my life.
Switcheroo.
I had toothpicks holding my eyes open. And I was like, what? The casket did pique my interest enough. But so I feel like
anytime you see a casket.
I actually feel like there was still a lot of the movie left at this point because I switched rooms after the casket.
You switched rooms.
Because I was like, I'm going to wash my face.
I got to watch this in two separate locations.
I was getting really tired. So I went, I got to wash my face, get ready for bed, and then I'm going to finish it because otherwise it's going to be, you know. And then it went on for much longer. Yet there's only two sentences here.
I don't remember it going on much longer. Well, there's the Lex Luthor stuff.
Yeah, they had to do the whole fight. We didn't get
into it. The in jail.
Oh, right. Where he shaves his head. But anyway, so Lois puts dirt on the grave, and then it starts to float, which gives us the impression
that maybe Superman
he's going to be okay after all.
Is being buried alive? Yeah. That's sad.
I know. But Lex Luthor shaves his head. He goes to jail.
Batman visits him and is like, you can see him about to brand him like he branded all the other criminals, but he doesn't. He pulls back. He brands the wall, and he also has a conversation with Wonder Woman where he's like, we got to get everyone together to, as a group, to be the Justice League. We got to find all these people who are like us. He's just a rich guy, by the way. I don't know why he's like including himself in this like us kind of thing. But we got to band together because something's coming. He just has a feeling something's coming. And he goes, I failed him in life. I won't fail him in death. Like this, the just 180 that he makes on Superman is not justified at all. Where now he's like, I'm a friend. Oh, he's the best guy in the world. I got to live up to his ideals. But I think what they're trying to say is like, okay, I'm no longer the crazy fascist Batman.
Yeah.
I'm like back to protecting people Batman.
All right. I'll accept.
I accept.
Should we jump into the awards and reception of this film?
Of course.
Of course we should, Lauren.
So it earned $166 million in the U.S. and Canada on its opening weekend. It became the eighth highest grossing film of all time.
And but was also a disappointment.
People were personally sad, but they went to view it.
No. It did not make as much money as they wanted.
Okay. Well, in its second weekend, Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice Ultimate Edition experienced a historic box office drop with an 81.2% decline on Friday. That was one of the biggest Friday to Friday drops any blockbuster has ever seen, and an overall 68.4% drop for the weekend, despite not facing any big competition at the box office.
People
That's a quote.
Hated it.
Wow. And then they told everyone, don't go.
Yes.
Don't go. The film holds 29% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it was overall panned by critics.
Wow, this is one of the first times where we're like matching up, I feel like, with what people
Mean. This movie was hot trash.
Yeah, okay. No Wayne. Let's read some trivia. In a Vulture article where celebrities were asked who would win in a fight, Batman or Superman, Michael Shannon, who played Zod, answered, I'm so utterly unconcerned with the outcome of that fight. So profoundly, utterly unconcerned. I can't even come up with a fake answer.
Michael Shannon, he's
so awesome. He gives like awesome interviews.
This is great.
I guess I have to root for Superman because he killed me. So I would hope that he would continue his killing spree and become like a serial killer Superman. That's a new take on Superman. We'd all be in a heap of trouble if Superman was a serial killer. He could just wipe us all out, but then he'd be lonely. That's a great answer.
That is the plot of Mark Waid's Irredeemable, by the way.
Wow. So someone took that idea?
No, but I mean, it already existed, but yeah.
Well, they took it in the past.
Yep. He's a time traveler.
Composer Hans Zimmer said this will be the last superhero movie for which he will compose music for. This movie broke Hans Zimmer.
I don't. I actually really noticed the music this time more than ever, and I liked it.
Well, there are two themes. The Wonder Woman theme is introduced here.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Which is very big.
Which is fun.
Yeah.
But also the Lex Luthor theme, the bong, bang, bong, yeah. bang.
Oh, yeah.
That is used in Justice League a little bit, too.
Everyone had a little theme. Yeah. It was kind of cute. Mm-hmm.
But I think Hans Zimmer, the issue for him was he was trying not to replicate what he did in The Dark Knight. Whenever Batman came on screen, he's just like, this is too confusing now.
Oh, okay. This is a weird fact. Gal Gadot had 16 lines in the film. She's given one or two more lines in the extended cut. I'm like, yeah, she didn't have any lines. Why is that a fact?
Yeah, she barely was in
the movie. But they're just throwing her in there to introduce Wonder Woman. I mean, 16 lines. It is fewer than I thought, I guess. Okay, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice Ultimate Edition after this.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? Ooh, I mean, I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30, and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people, and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
We're back.
This
segment's called Holy Batman! Batman, in this new segment, will rate Ben Affleck on the Definitive Newcomers Batman Scale. We're going to use our phones to rank him on 5 unique characteristics.
Oh.
Preparedness. How prepared is this Batman? Does he get to use his little gadgets and tools? Detective ability. Does this Batman get to be a little detective? Is he good at mystery solving? Voice graveliness. How gravelly is this Batman's voice? Sadness. How lonely, brooding, emo is this Batman? And finally, hotness slash horniness. How hot and how horny is this Batman?
Oh, this is
cool.
So
you do this, and then you fill out this little form, and then we'll see what our average is for what we thought of this Batman.
Okay, I did it.
Okay, great. Is everyone locked in?
I'm locked in. I have all my answers locked in.
Okay. So for preparedness, we gave this Batman a 56%. I feel like he wasn't really particularly...
Well, he made the... No. He made the kryptonite aerosol spray.
Yeah.
That's pretty prepared.
But he was prepared.
I think. He made the big spear with the tip, where he said, just the tip,
he did, Superman. Yeah. He was like, just the tip. Don't touch the tip, though. Just the tip. I guess he was sort of doing some stuff, but it just felt like he was kind of like, he wasn't listening to Alfred. He wasn't, I feel like he didn't care.
He was just like doing his own thing, and he was like, whatever, I just hate Superman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Detective ability we gave him, can you make it a little bigger?
I gave him a zero because I thought he was kind of stupid the entire time.
We gave him 26%.
Yeah, I agree.
I think I gave him a little bit of leeway here, but I don't know why.
You have a Batman movie coming up that I think he's even worse in as a detective.
Oh,
but...
no.
Oh, great. voice graveliness.
What movie is that one?
The Batman.
The.
Oh.
Voice graveliness, 100%. He was completely modulated.
Now, I was wondering.
It was so strange.
I was going to go 100 or I was going to go zero because it's all fake, but he's... Technically, because he uses the voice modulator, he's more gravelly than any other Batman.
He's the most gravelly we've seen. I felt it was so fake that I was like, that's almost weird. Like, I just like I wanted to hear his real voice more, I think, but it's okay. Hmm. They did a lot of that with Christian Bale, too, didn't they? They made it or didn't they modify it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sadness, 34.3%.
He's more angry the whole time. Than sad, okay.
I felt that he was pretty sad just because he seemed pathetic to me.
I've seen sadder Batmans, I feel.
Yeah. He wasn't sad because
this
he didn't
one wasn't
seem to,
too sad.
He was mad. He was sad about his mom, but he didn't seem to have the sadness that we have that like Michael Keaton was like, more of a brooding, like my life is so tragic. Hotness, hoardiness, 41.3.
I gave him 100 because of this scene that I might have imagined where he's in the shower. Because
I
see
don't
his
remember that. I don't
remember it either.
We're gonna need.
I remember.
That
need,
said, I feel like you're both on your phone the entire.
That's
movie.
Not true. It's not true.
I truly tried to watch this
I
movie.
Tried
it was so hard.
It's tough to get to the butt, which is like the dessert.
Why didn't you text me that there was a butt? I would pay more attention.
I feel like there. I'm gonna look.
We're
this
gonna
up.
Find out.
Should I just put in Batman's butt and see what pops up?
Yeah,
yes,
put
see
in
what happens.
Batman's butt.
Put it in Batman's butt.
Taryn Killam's new segment we have to jump to. How did the score score? So do we like the score by Hans Zimmer? We kind of touched on this already, but
I liked it. I thought it was cool.
I think there's some pretty iconic moments in it. And now, did Junkie XL also do part of the score?
And I noticed that, yes. It did say Junkie XL at the beginning with Hans Zimmer. And then it was a little more amped up. And I was like, that's the Junkie XL coming into play, I think.
Yeah, I think
not knowing who that is at all.
I think the iconic Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Junkie XL?
I don't know, but I was on board.
He's
instantly.
Like a DJ who did the Wonder Woman score. I think the iconic Wonder Woman thing is actually Junkie XL's addition. But I could be wrong.
What a fun name.
It
like,
is
how
fun.
Did Junkie XL pick that name?
I know.
Just a little messy and fat.
He also did the Mad Max score, I believe. Okay, here's a picture of the butt.
Dang, I missed that. It's a good butt.
Dang,
if you Google
it,
you'll find it.
Yeah.
Five kapows.
Oh, even lighter. They've lightened
nice.
It a little
okay,
bit.
Okay, maybe I do remember this. I don't know.
He farts out of that.
Well, sure, but it's cool. Okay.
But it's still nice.
Time for reviews. Once again, we are going to be reading reviews from Letterboxd, and then we'll each give a one-sentence review ourselves and a star rating. So if you don't know, Letterboxd is a social platform where people can write reviews of films. Are you on Letterboxd, personally?
Maybe.
Okay. Privately under a fake name. You can follow the show on Letterboxd at Newcomers. Here's one. 2 stars from Garden of Eden. Fell asleep watching this in the theater. Hey, my friend. But the Martha part was funny. See? And 3 stars from Sinky Pinky, blah, 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 just kiss already. Well, fair enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nicole, do you have thoughts? Stars?
Sure. I'm going to give it 0.5 star, and my one sentence review is, woof, I hated it. Top to bottom, snack, what's his name? Zack Snyder? No.
I think of Snack Zider, which I think is better.
Snack Zider? Snack Zider.
Snack Zider has rules.
You're bad. I didn't like it.
That's funny. I'm gonna give it 1 star. I don't think I've gone as low as 0.5. I feel like there's still room for it to go lower. But my review is More bathtub scene, less kryptonite, baby.
I guess this is out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably give it 1.5, but because I feel like it's all very watchable. I have very mixed feelings about it because I know you guys aren't going to watch the Justice League.
Right. Or we're not watching. Yeah.
No.
Justice League, the theatrical cut is even worse. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen. But Zack Snyder's version, the 4-hour version.
That's the quote unquote Zack Snyder cut that everyone was talking about.
Is actually good. And it's okay. A fascinating, if you're a filmmaker, it is one of the most fascinating things to watch the Zack Snyder version, then go back and watch the Joss Whedon version to see what they changed. It gives you such an interesting glimpse into how a movie can be changed.
That's cool.
and all that kind of stuff. But the Zack Snyder Justice League, I don't agree with his point of view about superheroes at all. And what he wants to do with superhero movies, but it is legitimately so much better than the theatrical version, and he takes big swings,
yeah,
and he films things beautifully, so I can't just say like it's trash, even though he makes bad choices in my opinion and it's boring.
Great. So you gave it 1.5, which is that's nice,
but 4 hours, that's honestly unhinged.
You know, Kulop did not go to Justice League with me because of this movie. It was so boring, and I went and I came back and I said Justice League is so fucking bad. And we watched during pandemic, we watched the Justice League, and an hour into it, we looked at each other and we're like, is this actually really good? And we thought it was. It's very weird. But again, I don't agree with anything he's plotting or making the superheroes do, but it's interesting.
Somehow it works.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And then, as always, we love to read reviews of our own program. This one is 5 stars from Meg Smith. A blast. Thank you for watching these movies so I don't have to. How is your theme music always so good? Dancing to it now.
Does it change every week?
Yeah, every week it's a new song. Well, it's different with each theme that we're talking
about. With each season.
So we encourage you to please out there, please go write a review on Apple Podcasts.
You only read the good ones?
Please.
Yeah, only the good ones.
There's
no such thing as you have to give 5 stars. The thing doesn't work unless you put 5. And we pick one to read on the next episode. And you can also rate on Spotify, which is simply just clicking 5 stars and moving on with your day.
Just click it.
Yeah. You love
Scott,
it.
Click it or ticket.
Click it or ticket. Scott, do you have anything that you want to plug?
Yeah, I have a new podcast with Adam Scott called You Spring and Springsteen on My Bean, which is
flows right off the tongue.
Adam and I go through the entire Bruce Springsteen discography. It's very confusing because you can't find it by that title. You have to it's under the subheading of You Talking U2 to Me, which is the main
podcast,
and we didn't want to make it a different feed.
Well,
because
you want the listeners to keep following you.
So it's you talking you two to me, colon, You Spring and Springsteen on My Bean.
I love it.
It's been very fun. And then we also went to see you two at the Sphere in Vegas recently, and we have a new you two episode
I
as well.
Saw
so
that.
People can.
Oh, that's fun.
That looks fun.
How's that Sphere?
I know. That's,
was it fun?
It's wild.
Does the Sphere come out of nowhere? I feel like I just suddenly knew about a Sphere.
It was not there
the
day before.
Sphere's here.
Okay. It was. It just dropped down.
It's a lot like Zod in his Kryptonian ship.
I love references like that.
See, Zod, that's the thing. If he had dropped down and just made a concert venue out of all that stuff, he could have made billions.
And then all the people would have had fun and been happy instead of dying.
Exactly.
Aww.
By the way, this is not the last you'll be seeing of Zod.
What? I don't care.
Oh, no. More Zod.
Uh-huh. There is more Zod in your future.
But you know what?
But didn't he float away in the baked beans?
Oh, yes, he did.
Well, the next movie we're watching, I think we're going to like this one. We're watching the Lego Batman movie. That seems fun.
That seems like a nice time.
That just seems like a relaxing moment for both of us. I think we deserve something like this. We need a little silly time.
Yeah. Yes.
We'll be back next week.
Who plays Batman in this one?
Will Arnett, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and I think Zach is the Joker.
Who?
Galifianakis.
Oh, awesome.
Our colleague.
Oh, what a dream.
My dear friend. That's amazing.
I think he's one of the only Joker people who's ever played the Joker who hasn't won an Academy Award.
There's still time. They can do it later.
There's still time. He's got a whole career.
He had to play Joker again.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we can't wait to watch that film. We're so excited. Thank you for talking about Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice Ultimate Edition, Scott. We really appreciate that. This was a blast.
Yes, thank you.
And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
We did it. Bye. Newcomers is a production of HeadGum Studios. Our producer is Ali Khan. Our executive producer is Anya Kanivskaya. The show is edited, mixed, and mastered by Ferris Manchi, who also composed our theme song. Follow us on Letterboxd at Newcomers and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We might just read it on the next show. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Original.